Cecilia threatened everyone. I don't think they'll stop unless it's clear you can't be caught, Lena replied, moving into the shade as well and curling down on one hip. Thank you, again, by the way. I know I put you in a bad place and forced you to make a decision. If you had insisted, though, I want you to know I'd have let you go rather than hurt you. He looked back over his shoulder, then turned around to face south and the forest they'd left behind.
Well, I don't want you to have to fight anyone, least of all someone from your hometown. If I spot them coming, we'll see if we can rouse Shy and get a move on. If worst comes to worst, promise me something.
What? She asked.
Don't fight. I'll bug out if I can, but I don't want you to burn your bridges. If I get caught, just play along and take credit for catching me. Say you chased me here. The track should bear that out. Shy couldn't run anymore, and I wouldn't leave her behind. I'm injured and malnourished. I couldn't run as fast as yesterday. They've got no reason not to buy the story.
How will I find you again if you escape? She asked, looking over at him with concern.
I'll work something out. These people sheltered you, gave you a home. Don't turn against them for some dude you just met.
Okay, if you're sure. She wasn't happy, and that made him wonder just why it was she wanted so badly to leave these people behind. He sighed and said,
I don't know how much rest Shy needs.
He looked up into her branches.
Really don't know much about her at all, actually.
That made him chuckle self-deprecatingly.
I don't know much of anything, I guess. Not when it comes to this place.
Where did you come from? Lena asked.
Nowhere you've heard of? I got dumped in this world from somewhere else just yesterday. Woke up in a sea cave, and it's been one thing after another since then.
She tilted her head, smiling at him as she asked, So, something you said earlier made me curious. Can I ask a question?
Shoot.
You said drinking Minotress milk wasn't the craziest thing you've done since you got here, even though it's obvious that really bothered you. What was the craziest thing you've done? He looked at her, thought about it, then laughed helplessly as he wrapped Shy's trunk with a pair of knuckles and said,
I fucked a tree.
Chapter 7. Making Frenemies.
There was no warning. One moment Terry was scanning the horizon, looking for traces of pursuit. The next he was being showered with water, as a score of silver-scaled fishfolk erupted out of the river and onto the bank only feet away. Acting purely on instinct, Terry leapt away and felt the whisper of a net brushing across his legs. On his feet, in the next instant, he surveyed the opposition. There were too many to fight all at once. But now that he knew what to look for, he noted that none of the people opposing him were armed, and most of them were female.
All of them, in fact. That's fighting dirty.
At least they weren't completely naked. Seaweed, shells, precious metals, and gems seemed to make up the bulk of the clothing, and as they moved to surround him, Terry rapidly backpedaled. Shy was still in the form of a tree, and showed no evidence of changing. Lena was looking around with an expression of horror writ large on her features. She reached out and tentatively took up the spear, but was covered in netting seconds later for her troubles. None of the sea folk got more than 30 feet from the water, though, and stopped when they realized they wouldn't be allowed to get behind him. He watched warily and waited for someone to say something. Until he knew what they intended, he didn't intend to give anything away himself.
Not that I've got much to give away.
Running wasn't an option. Until they knew he was Lena's captive, it wouldn't do to bail out and risk her being hurt. He wasn't at all surprised when moments later the woman he now knew to be their leader rose up out of the water. She moved with a smooth, liquid grace that was disconcerting in the extreme. Though her tentacles roiled,
Her upper body was unshaken as she mounted the bank. She said, "Won't you come closer? My name is Cecilia. I lead these people. As I said last time we met, I've no intention of harming you."
"I hear that a lot lately," Terry replied, lifting his arm and displaying its blood-soaked bandages. "You'll forgive me for humoring my doubts on the matter. What do you want?"
He watched her expression closely, but the only thing he could see was that her face was a mask of cultured patience and the kind of faux kindness rich people tended to wear as they gave change to a panhandler on a street corner. She said, "You are new to this world, are you not? I simply wish to ensure that you had proper guidance and help. Templates such as yourself often die within the first week of their appearance on Celestine, and I think it would be a tragedy if that happened to you." She indicated his arm as she asked, "Tell me, how did you come to suffer such grievous harm?" Lena opened her mouth, but paused when she caught sight of the look Terry gave her.
"I really don't want any harm to come to that guy, especially considering the price I paid not to hurt him myself."
He turned to Cecilia and said,
"A misunderstanding. I'll heal."
The octopedal woman seemed to be willing to let the issue go, glancing at Lena as she said, "I'm glad at least that one of my servants was able to guide you to the river, where we can talk, though it is a bit far upstream." Terry's eyes narrowed slightly, as he considered and dismissed the possibility that Lena had played him. If she was an actress, she was a damn good one. He shrugged and said,
"Well, you seemed insistent and I saw no point in fighting. I ran out of energy and this woman caught me, then offered aid and tended my injury as best she knew how. I'll thank you for the offer of guidance, but decline. I'm not much of a swimmer, and I think I'll take my chances on land."
He glanced at Lena again, and saw to his great relief that she wasn't struggling under the weight of the nets, nor was she trying to clear things up. Her discretion made this easier, if only marginally. He was touched that she felt enough confidence in him to let him muddle his own way out of this. She was gazing at him with soulful eyes, which seemed to convey her faith in him.
"Can't blame her for that, though. She clearly doesn't know me well."
Cecilia seemed to ponder his words for a moment, then shook her head with an air of regret as she said,
"While I can appreciate your preferences, it would be negligent of me to let you go. You are simply too likely to come to harm. This is a dangerous world, and you are unequipped to deal with it, I can tell."
Her eyes rose to meet his, as she added, "That is why I felt I had to strongly encourage my people here on the land to search for you. If you aren't willing to come with me, I will feel compelled to make them bear the burden of responsibility for your current and future injuries. It is very difficult for me and mine to operate on land, you see, and I simply cannot conscience letting you come to harm when my servants could have prevented it."
Did she just... She did. She took her own fucking people hostage. Wow. Stone-cold bitch here.
It was immediately clear to him that if he let her know he actually cared about the villagers, they would be held against his compliance. There was only one way he knew of, short of giving up, to defuse that notion. Play dumb.
Wait, what?
His voice conveyed a very genuine incredulity. He hoped she would misinterpret it as confusion regarding her intentions rather than disbelief at her brazen disregard for her own people.
"I'm going to have to be careful here if I want to pull this off. Are you trying to hold the villagers hostage so that I'll do what you tell me to do?"
For the first time, Terry noticed Cecilia's expression crack, but it was only a momentary flicker and not enough to give him a good read. He knew that's what she was trying, but saying it outright obviously wasn't her style. She shook her head and smoothly said, I simply wanted you to know the depth of my concern for your well-being.
So, if I continue to decline your invitation and leave, what will happen to them?
He asked, voice filled with honest curiosity.
I can play this game all day, lady.
Anything could happen, she said, still obviously trying to evade. I couldn't guarantee their safety. If they fail to bring you to me, that's all.
Can you normally guarantee their safety?
He asked. We have an agreement to that effect, yes. Now it was clear that her patience was wearing a bit thin, but she was determined not to let the veneer of civilization slip.
I can use that. At 20 or more to 1, I don't exactly want to get uncivilized here. Well, I've been brought to you. You've spoken to me, and I still intend to go my own way. You should probably tell your people that they won't have to worry about the matter henceforth. It would be absurd, after all, for you to hold your own people, who I don't care about one way or the other, hostage against me. That would be the sort of thing only a lunatic would think might work, and I would have to be pretty stupid to submit to such a person.
For a long moment, no one said anything. Terry silently prayed he had played the right notes, keeping things just civilized enough for her to want to keep the veneer up. He glanced at the sea folk and saw several of them weren't looking at him, but her. Their eyes seemed clouded with a mixture of concern and doubt. He didn't know exactly what the power structure was here, but if she was at the top and demonstrating a willingness to sacrifice those who weren't, there was nothing to say that they couldn't be next. Cecilia's expression had become calculating, thoughtful. Terry would have put good money down on the bet that she was trying to figure out if he was bluffing or not. She knew less about him than he knew about her, after all. She had no way to judge his words save on their face value, and he'd pitched them so as to convey nothing but sincerity. He'd made every effort to keep them from sounding two-faced, and that was exactly what she had to wonder about now. She had to understand that since she obviously didn't give a shit about her own people, he honestly might not either, particularly since he was new here, and he didn't know any of them personally.
Come on, stick is no good, so offer the carrot instead. If this is the best you can do, you're not nearly as conniving as my backstabbing little sister.
The thought of what Lisa had done almost cracked Terry's composure, but he was saved from the distraction, as Cecilia said.
Yes, of course. I wouldn't want my people to think me intemperate. Is there nothing I can offer you, sir? I truly think you would be safest coming with me, and I promise you the water will pose no threat to you while in our company. I have significant resources that I could put at your disposal. Fine clothing, servants, your choice of companions, vast wealth. You surely do not yet understand the sway you might hold. I beg you simply allow me to show you the breadth of possibility open to you here.
Terry took his time, considering his answer. She'd given him an idea, and he figured it was worth at least a shot. If all else failed, he could bug out and be relatively assured that Lena wouldn't be harmed. At this point, Cecilia might not even be aware that the willow growing on the bank wasn't just what it seemed.
Though now that I think of it, how the hell did she know I was here? I thank you for your offer, Cecilia. I appreciate it, but I will respectfully decline. This woman has been helpful, though. If you want to help me any way you can, surely you could ask her to travel with me? She's already done much for me on your behalf, and with her size, I can't imagine she'll be incapable of protecting me.
Cecilia's answer was smooth and immediate.
I could, of course, do that, but you must understand that if I am to lose someone so valuable, I must have something in exchange. How am I to collect on this favor you will owe me?
Ah, crap.
Terry thought for a moment, then said,
I would have to know what you wanted, Cecilia.
She said,
For now, tell me your full name. I will take that as your owed favor, and grant this woman to accompany you on your travels for now.
This woman? Someone so valuable? Dollars to donuts, she doesn't even know Lena's name. I hate people like this.
Along with his thoughts on the terms, other warning bells were going off in his brain. Something about the way she'd subtly stressed full name. His eyes narrowed, and he said,
My name is Terrence Mack.
That's your full name? She asked pointedly.
It's how I sign my paychecks at any rate, he said evenly. I think we both understand that your initial approach leaves something to be desired, as far as I'm concerned. I need to know that you're on the level before I give you anything else. I've seen some odd things over the last few days, and something tells me there's more to my name here than I know. I'll tell you what, though. I'm going to ask around, see what other people think of you. I'll owe you an apology if they tell me you're an honorable person, and I'll come back and give you my full name to prove my apology is sincere. So much for keeping things simple. The more I think about it, though, the more I think giving up my full name would be a bad idea.
What evidence have I given you that I am not honorable? She asked, and this time her eyes narrowed. He saw just a hint of the ugly temper she had so far kept so well contained.
Careful. I really don't want that temper to flare. If I told you I was honorable, would you believe me?
He asked. She answered with practiced ease. Of course.
Yeah, right.
He glanced at Lena, covered in nets, and indicated her as he asked,
What's her name?
Excuse me?
Cecilia asked, thrown by the question. Terry said,
You mentioned that she was valuable to you. What's her name?
She froze. Then her expression darkened as the implication of the question settled in. She folded her arms across her chest, and Terry continued, treading very carefully.
I want to trust you, but in order to do so, I have to be able to believe what you say, just as you should believe me when I speak. I am an honorable man, and her name, incidentally, is Lena.
You are too clever by half, Terrence Mack. I do not like being put in a corner.
Most vicious animals don't. Give me something to prove I can trust you, he said,
speaking in the same gentle tone he'd use on such an animal. He held his hands up, palm out to show they were empty. He made his body language as meek as he could manage.
Right now, I'm terrified of you. I've been ready to run since you showed up, but you've been willing to talk, so we're talking. Never hurts to throw a little honesty in. This bitch is straight-up horror movie material.
Cecilia considered him, the darkness in her expression fading as he all but debased himself in front of her. He could tell his attention to detail with the body language was helping. Growing up where he had, there had been plenty of opportunity to learn how to make himself small. No matter how strong he got, he still somehow managed to run into people who were bigger, badder, or just plain crazy and weren't worth fighting. Cecilia easily topped two of those three lists at the moment, and he'd never been one to hang his hat on foolish pride. Not when he wasn't in the ring, anyway.
Would it surprise you to learn, Terrence, that I desire you sexually? She asked at last.
He blinked, giving her a blank expression. Of course he knew, but letting her know he knew wasn't in the cards.
What for? You and I wouldn't exactly, fit together.
She smirked at him and made a short series of gestures that left traces of something in the air that looked like twisted heat waves. The distortions grew until they formed a haze around Cecilia, and Terry couldn't help but look away as a bright, utterly silent flash of light erupted from her. When the spots cleared out of his eyes, he saw Cecilia no longer rode on a bed of tentacles, but wore the lower body of a human woman. She was still clearly not human, though. Her extra limbs now spread out behind her, six tentacles waving idly in the air all around, and putting Terry in mind of some of the Hindi iconography he'd seen, though those had been arms, not tentacles.
At least she isn't wearing a necklace of skulls. This woman has got to be the most terrifying creature I've ever seen.
Her transformation left him visibly dumbfounded, and she didn't miss the opportunity. She sauntered toward him, curled an arm around his shoulder, and ran well-trimmed nails across the back of his scalp as she leaned in and whispered against his ear,
"I assure you, Terrence Mack, you'll fit me well. Perhaps you'd like to make a deal?"
"She smells amazing. What's going on here?"
Terry felt disoriented, confused, and horny. Very, very horny. She was running her hands over his back, his ass, everywhere at once, it seemed. He blinked and shook his head, but the fog in his mind refused to clear. Cecilia bit his earlobe and hissed,
"You're clever, and you have an admirable physique, Terrence Mack. I am, as you suspect, terrible, powerful, and treacherous. Yet, as fickle as I am, you have the chance to gain from me, if you dare try. Indulge my lust, satisfy it, and I will grant you great power."
"I want this. God, I want this woman."
He slid his hands over her hips, squeezed her bare backside, felt soft flesh balloon around his fingers as she murmured approvingly in his ear. Her breasts fit her frame perfectly, and she pressed hard nipples against his chest as her many limbs continued to caress him from all sides. But for a tiny rock of absolute resistance in the back of his mind, he'd have been lost.
"I fought too hard, for too long, just to lose everything anyway. Am I going to let it happen again? Free."
Her body tensed against him, just a little, and she nipped at his ear and asked,
"Is that what you want, Terrence Mack, to be free? I can make it so."
"I don't know. It's so hard to think."
"I'll take that as a compliment,"
she whispered, and kissed her way down his throat. The tunic he'd so recently acquired was ripped down the middle, in an absent display of strength, as Cecilia pressed soft lips to his chest and slowly sank to her knees. His trunks were tented with the heavy bow of his constrained shaft, and she hummed with approval of his size as she freed it from its cage of fabric. He groaned, dimly aware that he was surrounded by people now. The villagers had finally caught up, and everyone was staring at him, with expressions ranging from sullen anger to hunger to frustrated desire. His gaze found Lena, and the shock of seeing her cleared his head for just a moment. Her soulful brown eyes were on him, and she seemed desperately lonely, draped in nets and forgotten by all. He slipped his fingers into Cecilia's hair and tightened his grip just enough to stop her. She looked up at him with one arched eyebrow, flicked her tongue across the head of his shaft as he met her gaze.
"God, I'm going to lose it if I don't speak quickly." "I'll satisfy you, but afterward I want to be free to go, and for Lena to be free to travel with me."
Their eyes locked. Hers sparkled with both power and lascivious intent, but he held his ground. It took so much effort to resist the pull of his desire that he could feel himself shaking, but he met her gaze and waited. Her lips curled in a sultry smile, and she sounded just a bit impressed as she said,
"Very well, though I reserve the right to see you again, to have you again from time to time. The tides go in and out, after all, and the sea is patient. I will have you for my own, in time."
Terry's lusts got the better of him, and his grip in her hair eased. She took the head of his shaft past her lips, and made it abundantly clear to him that she knew what she was doing. Her lingual skills were mythical, and inside 2 minutes, his legs were shaking. It took everything he had to keep his balance.
Fuck, you're gonna make me... Ugh!
Just when he felt that he'd explode, she circled the base of his shaft with her thumb and forefinger, pulled her lips away, and squeezed, shutting him down with practiced ease.
Not quite yet, Terrence Mack. There's a proper place for this.
She patted his shaft, as though it were a good dog, and stood, turning as she did so to press her plush ass against him. In his lust-fueled haze, he barely registered the fact that her back was lined with tentacles that writhed and reached for him, wrapped around his lower back and butt to keep him pressed just where she wanted him.
I've got to do something. I've never been so completely wrecked.
Terry's world seemed to be tilting, pushed around by sensations that threatened at any moment to completely overwhelm his sanity. Some part of him knew there was more to this, that she was doing something to him beyond the obvious. He'd never been so hot, so absolutely rabidly needy. She was stroking his shaft with her ass, and he couldn't do a thing to stop her or get inside her, because her tentacles had him locked in tight against her. He moaned, squeezed his eyes shut, and instead of resisting her or trying to drop low enough to get inside her, he leaned forward, using her own grip on him as leverage, as he reached around with his left hand and split his fingers over her sex, rolling his wrist gently as he groaned and started doing powers in his head.
2 to the 0 is 1, 2 to the 1st is 2, 2 to the 2nd is 4, 2 to the 3rd is 8.
His finger split her puffy lips and came away wet. He drew them up and began rolling circles around her pearl. He felt her ass tighten a bit around his girth as she let out a low moan and said,
"Still struggling? Terrence, you're just, full of surprises."
She ground shamelessly against him as he continued to roll his wrist. He felt her swell under his fingers until her pearl was almost the same size as the pad of his thumb, swollen and throbbing with her pulse. Her breathing deepened, and she began circling her hips, rolling his shaft around against the silky, smooth curves of her ass.
2 to the 8th is 256, 2 to the 9th is 512, 2 to the 10th is 1024.
With a low, hungry sound, Cecilia shifted her hips and lifted herself. He felt heat pressing against the tip of him, and she straightened, pressing her back to his chest as his shaft slipped deep inside her. His right arm was throbbing with pain, but he lifted it, forced it to work as he cupped her breast and squeezed the soft mound of flesh. His head fell forward, and he moaned brokenly against her throat. Her snug slit clenched hard around him, and he bucked inside her in response, as the tingling build to orgasm began to numb his legs. She resumed her lazy grind, her every breath a soft moan of pleasure and desire, as she laid her head back on his shoulder.
"Oh, Terrence, still? You're so hard, thick. I love it. I'm going to make you pop. You can't last.
2 to the 15th is 32,000. 768. 2 to the 16th is 65,500. Fuck.
He bit the nape of her neck, fingers shivering with tension, as he continued to mindlessly roll them. Terry couldn't think, couldn't even start over. Math was a bust. Win-loss records for his favorite fighters wouldn't come to mind. He could barely remember his own name, but he knew if he didn't make her come, it would be bad. He didn't know why, didn't have anything nearly coherent enough to call a plan, but he knew where his fingers were, and knew on a basic level far below rational thought that he wanted this woman to scream his name. Cecilia groaned as his teeth sank in, and she shivered and pressed against him harder. His fingers found and pressed the fat crown of her erect nipple, teasing the tip with his fingernail before pinching, lightly tugging, and all the while his fingers kept rolling around and around, even as he felt the insanely unstoppable need to come surge from the base of his shaft.
It's no good. I'm done. I'm d-
He came. He came from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Every single muscle in his body went absolutely rigid. His arm tightened around her chest and around her hip, his hand clamping over her swollen mound and squeezing hard as he practically lifted her off her feet. His pleasure controlled him, completely dominated him, and he pumped so hard and so long into her that he would later wonder what the hell he'd been filling her with there at the end. Men just didn't make that much cum, did they? It was only as his pleasure began to recede a bit, leaving him just a little mental room, that he realized she'd screamed, and that she was clenching in a rhythm that was absolutely unmistakable around his shaft.
I got her. Jesus fuck, I got her.
His next thought was that maybe, making her come hadn't been the best idea he'd ever had, because her tentacles were rigid around his back and ass, and he was having a really hard time breathing. He could feel the muscular contractions of her orgasm racing through the black limbs wrapped around his body, felt the hard edges of the innumerable suckers digging into his flesh.
She'll break my back if she squeezes much harder.
He winced, shivered, and sagged to his knees. She let him, probably because her legs didn't have any strength left either. She loosened up just enough, and he drew gasping breaths as his own grip on her eased, and she rested against him for a moment, panting. One by one, her tentacles disengaged, unwinding from him until she had enough room to half turn around. She stared into his eyes, and he felt something pass between them. He wasn't sure what it was. Given her threats, manipulation, and straight-up terror factor, it for sure wasn't love. But something happened. She kissed him, her tongue dancing with his for no more than a few seconds. Then she slipped out of his lap, rubbing the back of her hand across her lips and glancing at it. Then him, as though she'd surprised herself.
You're an interesting man, Terrence Mack. I think it pleases me to honor our agreement. Not only that, I've granted you a measure of my power. Do use it to stay alive until our next meeting.
She pressed her fingers to her lips and blew him a kiss, then shimmered as she walked away. By the time she touched the water, she was as he'd first seen her, regal, composed, with the upper body of a pale, beautiful, raven-haired woman riding on a nest of oily black tentacles. Her attendants preceded her into the water, and seconds later, Terry fell over, panting on the ground in a daze as adrenal fatigue washed through him.
Chapter 8. Compatible Crazy. Shy did not manifest again until after the sun went down, and she did so by seeming to rise from the roots and bole of the tree as though she were floating to the surface. Terry was awake, albeit still rather dazed, when it happened this time, and it still took him a few seconds to register the change in sensation. One moment he was resting against wood, the next, flesh.
No wonder I didn't immediately wake up last time. Hey,
he murmured, yawning.
Sleep well?
Fingers ran over the short hair at the top of his head, tracing down his cheek.
I saw what happened. By the time I was aware of Cecilia and her coterie, there was nothing I could have done to get us all away. I'm sorry, T. I feel as though I've let you down.
He stretched and winced as pain lanced down his right arm. Lifting his left, he curled it around and ran his fingers through her hair, then touched her throat lightly.
I'm glad you chose to stay hidden. It all worked out. I don't think Cecilia knew we'd met, so she had no way of knowing I'd been made aware of anything about my situation. She even tried to con me on the way out, saying she'd gifted me. She's a real piece of work.
You did well, T. Almost impossibly well.
Terry leaned away from her at that and half-turned to look back.
Sure you saw the exchange I was actually involved in? She tore my ass up, literally. I've got little circle paper cuts in the backside of me from my shoulder blades to my thighs. If I hadn't had that tunic Lena gave me, I'd have probably bled out by now. As it is, I'm pretty sure that's the shortest-lived shirt I ever owned. Hell, if she hadn't pulled my shorts down all the way to suck me, I'd be butt naked right now.
Shy smirked, then lifted a finger as she said, "Yet she honored a bargain with you in all its particulars."
She touched his nose lightly.
"I think she's quite taken with you, Terry Mack. You're an astoundingly lucky man."
"Yeah? We'll see what kind of luck I've got in the next few days, I guess. The people living in the village downstream should be safe enough. They arrived in time to see my, conversation. The guy that tore me up is fine. I sent them all home, Lena included, but they promised to bring supplies if we'd wait here until morning, so I figured I'd get some shut-eye in."
"Yes, so I heard. Lena will bring them when she returns."
Glancing back, he said,
"So you think she'll be back?"
"It is a certainty. You'll be lucky if she comes alone."
He settled back against her, too tired to roll his eyes. Every part of him was either sore, ached, or stung. Shy was a comfort, both physically and spiritually. Terry felt her warmth seep into him and took pleasure in the way she wrapped her arms around his.
You feel nice. I can't believe I just met you yesterday and feel this comfortable around you."
"Likewise, T. I have not felt tender with someone in a long time. A long time. It's pleasant, and I hope it continues."
"Don't see why it wouldn't. I meant to ask, do we need to get you something to ride? You seemed really worn by the time we got to the river, and we aren't more than 10 miles from where we started."
She sighed and tightened her arms around him just a little.
"Traveling is not something dryads typically do. The transition from one shape to another is draining, as is putting roots down in a new place, and I've only been able to manage it as often as I have because of the, well, the boost you've given me. I'm very water-dependent as well. I drink much more in a day than most. Staying along a water course would be my preference as we move. I can walk a steady pace, but running, you're right, it's difficult for me."
"I'm not opposed to easy water access. I'm curious, though. You seemed eager to get me moving yesterday. I'd have thought someone in your situation would be less enthusiastic about the trip."
She kissed the top of his head and laughed softly.
"I am not so selfish as all that. You're going to get tired of hearing this, but the power you can grant is of a sort to change history."
"Well, then I'm probably off to a bad start. I can't imagine giving Cecilia more power is going to be good for anyone but Cecilia."
"Don't be so sure," Shy said,
her voice taking on a speculative tone.
"She is special."
That made Terry laugh, and Shy shook him playfully as she said,
"What? What's so funny?"
"Calling someone special where I'm from isn't a compliment,"
he said wryly.
"And we'll see what we can do to get you something to ride. Given the last few days, I'd have to be pretty stupid to presume we won't have more running to do."
He frowned.
"I could also really do with some way to pass for something other than human. Everyone that sees me freaks right the hell out."
"Taking you into a city or town will be problematic," Shy said. "I could craft a mask for you if you like. That much is within my power."
"Anything is better than the nothing I've got now. Lena said she'd bring me pants and a better-fitting tunic tomorrow, but so far no one I've seen wears shoes. Eventually I'm gonna need something to protect my feet."
He lifted one foot and curled it, revealing that he had several minor cuts, abrasions, and blisters from the rather brutal grass clumps and sand he'd spent the last 2 days running through.
Between the fighting, practically being raped by an octo-woman, and the environment, Celestina's chewing me up pretty good.
Terry?
The tone of her voice made him tip his head back to meet her eyes.
Hmm?
You've had sex with both myself and with Cecilia. Are you feeling any different? She said she'd gifted you power, and I don't think she was lying, at least not about that. I feel a connection to you, as though a piece of me is with you. Surely you must feel something. Perhaps not from me, but Cecilia is very powerful. Intercourse with her should have profound consequences for you.
Terry thought about it for a moment, then shook his head and resettled himself.
I'm just tired, sore, and doing my level best not to complain about how much I hurt at the moment. If I got anything from Cecilia other than some new and interesting scars, I don't feel it. Though I have to admit, that orgasm was fucking mind-blowing.
Shy squeezed him gently, then slid him to one side and straddled him in one smooth motion. She set her hands on his chest and looked down at him curiously. He couldn't help but get a little lost in her silvery green eyes. They seemed lit from within. She asked,
"Do templates pair bond?"
Well, that was out of the blue. Then again, maybe not. Yeah, we do. I wasn't, though, if that's what you're asking. There's really no one at home that I'll miss, which is depressing, now that I think about it. Makes me wonder what the hell I was doing with my life.
She nodded, then met his eyes, her expression serious.
Don't fall in love, Terry. If you do, you'll be tempted to set aside your goals on behalf of whomever you fall for. You said you wanted to be more than some nobody, but if you fall in love, your greatness will be limited. The women in your life should be means to an end, not the end themselves.
He blinked. That is probably the second most brutal thing I've ever heard a woman say. What the hell, Shy? Are you messing with me right now?
Shy shook her head, staring down at him.
I wanted you because I wanted to know what kind of power you could offer me. That you are kind, strong, sexually skilled, surprisingly intelligent. All of that is secondary. You could have been mean-spirited, weak, and stupid. I would have still lain with you to gain what I now have. Knowing the truth of this, do you hate me?
Terry gaped at her in disbelief.
No. You've helped me out, taught me things I needed to know. Whatever you got from me was freely given, Shy. I just don't know how to respond to hearing you say me being a good guy doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't, or rather won't to most people. You could be good, bad, or indifferent, and it won't matter to those you encounter. That is the nature of your existence now. Everyone who interacts with you will be looking to use you. Everyone. There will be no love for you, save love in the context of the power you offer. In the days to come, there will be very little chance for me to speak with you alone. And I wanted you to know. I wanted to warn you. Guard your heart, T. Guard it closely. No matter how much you feel you can love freely, you must refrain. You will never be able to dedicate yourself to another here on Celestine. Your kind is too rare. You will be considered a resource, and people will attempt to use you as such. The more powerful among us will want to use you up entirely, and that means exactly what you think it means.
Are you using me, then?
He asked. She smirked, but it was a soft expression in which he saw traces of regret.
Yes, I am absolutely using you, Terry Mac. I want you to rise, and I will rise with you. I will do my best to guide you. I want you to make a difference for Celestine, make her a better place. She is my mother, and she is being wounded, bled, and scarred by the blight driving the expansion of the Twilight Zone. You came to me, and I consider it divine providence that I was your first conquest, when so many others tried before. I want you to fight for my home, using your gift-giving abilities to gather powerful allies so that we can drive back the darkness. I don't want you to withhold your gifts, but I do want you to use them with your eyes open.
I'm not sure if that's really noble of you or just cold,
Terry said, managing after a long moment to find his tongue.
You just told me to... Hell, I don't even know.
He lifted an eyebrow, gazing up at her with the question plain on his face.
Fuck for great justice?
Shai's eyebrows shot up, then came together as her brow furrowed. Her lips twisted, trembled, then she burst out laughing and dropped herself down on him, wrapping her arms around his neck and burying her face against his throat.
Fuck for great... great justice?
Well, I'm glad one of us is amused,
he grumbled.
I'm still confused.
Shai recovered from her laughing fit and folded her arms across his chest, supporting herself thus as she looked down at him.
I'm trying to be serious, T.
I'm obviously not helping,
he said, smiling.
Though I hear you, I'll be careful. I've been double-crossed and stabbed in the back more than once. I don't plan to let it happen here. Though telling me not to fall in love with you is a bit weird. Wouldn't be my first fuck buddy, but somehow this just doesn't feel right.
She was still staring searchingly down at him and said, Do you love me, T? His thoughts spun into incoherence. He pondered a moment and said,
Love isn't a switch, Shai. At least not for me. It's more like a spectrum. I don't believe in shit like true love or love at first sight. Not to mention the truism that all women are crazy. It isn't about finding the exception. It's about finding a woman with the kind of crazy you can live with. I think Shai fits.
She smirked and leaned in, kissing his chin, then his lips before whispering against them, We've done a lot more than see each other.
Right now I think you're deliberately jerking my chain. I just can't figure out why.
You have the most entertaining expressions, she said, before kissing him again. Fuck for great justice. I'm going to laugh about that for years.
I didn't think it was that funny.
It might not be for most, but the country I lived in, the ruling family's motto was For Great Justice. He tilted his head back to look at her, and he said,
You're not serious.
Shai was struggling so hard to contain her laughter that she seemed on the verge of tears.
I am.
And then she was crying. She curled into him and sobbed. A dam had clearly broken within her, and she clutched at him and shed tears full of loss and sorrow.
Note to self, never tell her where I got For Great Justice.
He wrapped his arms around her and held her awkwardly as she cried. He'd done this for his little sister Sarah on two occasions, and even for Lisa once, so he knew better than to speak, but it was different when it wasn't family doing the crying. Part of him wished he were anywhere else at just that moment, while another was glad he could be there for Shai when she needed someone to lean on.
I watched it happen,
she murmured, taking shuddering breaths in an effort to calm herself.
I watched a great nation grow more desperate with each passing generation, as monsters invaded, killing and sowing destruction. By the time I finally left, the acrid winds of the zone had begun to blow, and the wells were running dry. The only people left were those too poor to leave, or too old, too sick. They watched me as I passed, and I knew they were waiting to die. I sought my place in the mountains and lived insensate for years,
wanting nothing but to be rid of my sorrow. I am sorry, Terry. I am sorry, but I won't stop. I'm going to keep pressing you to move forward, to help me take revenge against whoever or whatever is behind the blight spreading across the land. You're my one chance, and I'm not going to let you go.
You have an odd way of trying to endear me, telling me not to love you and then being lovable,
he murmured, gently stroking her hair.
And that's the second time you've said that to me.
Said what?
That you weren't going to let me go. I think I liked your earlier motivation better.
She leaned up and kissed him, and his tongue swirled with hers. He loved the tangy undertone of her flavor, and slid his hands over her back and down, squeezing her ass gently. When the kiss broke, she said,
Now that you know why I'm really following you around, you are still willing?
He smirked and quirked a wry eyebrow at her.
I'm pretty sure you only told me because you were sure I'd stick. I was born at night, but not last night. You took my measure and you've already told me you have a sense for people. You're as manipulative in your own way as Cecilia.
She's so much better at it than I am, Shai said ruefully, not even bothering to deny it. She's had thousands of years of practice.
Maybe. I think I prefer a bit of honesty mixed in with the manipulation, though. At least when I fight for you, I know what I'm fighting for. Which is more than I got from my own flesh and blood.
She met his eyes. I'm not a good woman, Terry. I didn't lift a finger to help the people who needed it. I'm selfish, even now. I want so much from you, vengeance and pleasure and power, and I'm not giving you nearly enough in return. If you leave me behind, I couldn't blame you.
Maybe someday I will,
he said, drawing her hair away from her face and cupping her cheek.
But not today. Probably not tomorrow, either. Just, if I do fall a little bit in love with you because you, oh, I don't know, kept me from starving, pledged to support me when I had no one and nothing, amused me with your cheap and yet somehow endearing attempts at manipulation, and renewed my sense of purpose when I hadn't anything left to believe in, don't hold it against me, okay?
Tears welled up in her eyes, and she made a tiny nod and whispered, Okay. He gave her a mischievous grin and squeezed her plush ass one-handed as he said,
Can we fuck now? You're putting this perfect body on me, and I've been doing such a good job not staring at the absolutely amazing tits smushed against my chest. And I know I should be serious and concerned for you as I burn with noble ambition to strike back against the darkness, but right now, you've got me hard as a rock. Thinking past my erection just isn't something I'm comfortable with.
She burst out laughing and hung her head. Her hair hit her face as she quickly wiped away her tears, shoulders shaking with emotional release. He smiled softly up at her and gave her a gentle squeeze. She nuzzled him and said, You say the sweetest things. He gave her a mockingly indignant look.
I do not.
Her lips brushed his as she whispered, Do too.
Do.
Chapter 9. Strange Motive. Lena returned to the riverbank before the sun completely left the horizon the next morning. Her pack was twice the size it had been the previous day, and she waved broadly as Terry spotted her. Shai was reclining against the trunk of her tree and waved as well. The area around the bole of her tree was covered in twisting vines and ripened cantaloupe. Lena boggled at the sight of the plants as she walked up. Terry laughed and said,
Benefits of traveling with a dryad. Come on in. We've been waiting for you to eat, or rather I have. I gave you my knife yesterday, remember?
Lena approached and shrugged her pack off, setting it down and kneeling to dig through it. As she did so, Terry noticed that she now had two sizable axes strapped against her thighs. They were full-size, double-bladed lumbering axes, but he had no doubt that she would wield them one-handed. She was just that big.
Good morning, Terry, she said, her voice smooth and low. I was able to bring more, seeing as how you managed to get Cecilia's blessing for me to travel with you. The village was grateful to you as well. A few people insisted I bring gifts for you because you refused to come spend the night. Terry had indeed declined to stay in the village after seeing more than a few hostile expressions among those who'd gathered around him. Too many of them wore their suspicion on their sleeves. He didn't want to wind up with a knife in his back, and at the time, Shai hadn't materialized. Not leaving her behind had been the reason they eventually accepted.
Didn't seem like a good idea to me at the time, he said, shrugging. Did you eat melons? Shai made way too much for me to finish or even carry on my own.
I've never had them. She found the knife and tossed it to Terry, who caught it and blinked as he examined the sheath. He distinctly remembered it being little more than a fold of leather, half rotted around the seams. This sheath was also leather, but new and decorated with black, blue, and white beads that formed a nest of writhing tentacles. It was ornate, very well done, and more than a little creepy.
Cecilia really does make an impression, doesn't she?
He glanced down at his side, where the crusted outline of a scab revealed where one of her many suckers had marked him. She also handed him a leather belt, and his new sheath had straps sewn in that had clearly been made for it.
Makes me feel a bit guilty, he said,
pulling the knife from the sheath to find that it had been cleaned and sharpened for him.
I don't get to say thank you.
What you did to save them was thanks enough. The next thing she handed him was a now familiar jar. He hesitated a moment, then accepted it and took a long drink before returning it to her. The look in her eyes was concerned as she examined him. His bandages were crusty with blood, and his back was covered in sucker wounds. How do you feel? Lena asked. He shrugged.
About like I look. I'll recover. Did you get a chance to say goodbye to your loved ones?
Lena's face froze. Then she smiled, but it was a weak expression. We parted ways. My sister was understanding.
Ouch. I guess if you're willing to bail on where you grew up in favor of traveling with a total stranger to an unknown destination, things can't have been rosy at home. Stupid of me to bring it up. So, Lena, we're headed north. I'm going to learn what I can about the Twilight Zone, see if there's something I can do about it. Are you sure you want to come with us?
She looked at him with an expression he found hard to read. It was thoughtful, concerned, and speculative all at once. You just got here a few days ago, and already you seem to have picked the worst of all possible places to go. My fault, I'm afraid, Shai said, speaking up for the first time. Terry looked over and saw that she had something in her hands. It looked like a block of wood, but she was changing its shape, molding it as though it were clay with her fingers. I am Shai, incidentally. We weren't properly introduced yesterday.
Lena.
The Minotress stood, strode over to Shai and reached out. They shook hands. Terry could tell that both women were cool, reserved.
Sizing up the competition.
The thought made him roll his eyes.
The hell did I get myself into, agreeing to travel with two women, the tacit understanding being that I would be fucking them both? How can this possibly not end badly?
I heard you say yesterday that you don't produce? Shai asked. May I ask why? Lena shot Terry an apprehensive glance, then said, I'm as yet untouched. Too much muscle? Shai's voice wasn't purely curious, Terry could tell. There was a barb in there, and he noticed Lena flinch as it hit home.
So she's not all sweetness and light after all. Not sure if I should step in here or not. Probably not. Every time I get between two women, it ends badly for me.
I You could say that. My sister got a man from the village to offer, but I wouldn't have him.
Too weak?
Shy smirked, but Terry could tell she'd gone a bridge.